الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد خاتم النبيين على آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا أنصار الله. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وابتغي فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من جعل الهموم هم واحدا هم آخرته كافاه الله هم دنيا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء, beloved elders and brothers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that woke us up after that same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us sleep last night. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to which all of us one day will have to return. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has given us one more opportunity to get closer to Him, to recognize Him, to fulfill the reason for our creation. That is to recognize Allah, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allowed us to wake up this morning and fulfill the command regarding which Allah will question us first on the day of Qiyamah. The command of Salah is the first command Allah will question us about on the day of Qiyamah. And all the people of Jannah, even when they settle in Jannah and they've reached, so to say, their goal, their objective, their destination, but even the people of Jannah will admit, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guided us, who allowed us in this world to do those actions that now brought us to this place, that brought us to Jannah. And had it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have been able to guide ourselves, to find our own way. So every single good that we do is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing that is taking place in the entire universe that we see, that we cannot see, that we understand, that we cannot understand, is all happening with the command of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is the creator of everything, He is the owner of everything, He is the controller of everything. He decides when it will be created, how it will be created, for how long it will remain in existence, when it will be destroyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us. An insan is such, al-insan abdul ihsan. Insan is a slave, insan feels indebted. The quality of a human being is when someone does good to him, then according to that good, that's how indebted he feels to that person. If someone comes up to you and they give you 10 rand, so you thank the person, and you feel, okay, the person gave me 10 rand, what can I do for him? This is a natural response in a human being. Someone comes and gives you 100 rand. Now here also there's a feeling of gratitude. And now this question of what can I do for him or what can I do to repay this person, that feeling increases because he gave me 100 rand. Another person comes and gives me 1,000 rand. Now the gratitude is even more. And the feeling of being indebted to this person and the question, what can I do for him, that feeling increases. The question, now you're ready to do even more for this person. Because the favor of the person has increased. The person comes up. There's a car that is blocking. The Honda KXB670NW. KXB670NW. It's on the top driveway, close to the Wuzukhana. A person comes up to you and gives you 1 million rand. Now your mind is running. Now you don't know how to thank him. You even tell him, I can't repay you. And you mean it from your heart. I can't repay you. What can I do for you? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any service that you need? Even later on in your life, if there's anything you need, let me know. Whatever way I can help you. Because this amount you've never seen before. And it's such a great favor. In our understanding, such a great favor, such a great boon. 1 million rand. Now if a person has to come up to you and they tell you, here's 1 million rand, give me your eyes. Just 2 small pieces of flesh. They weigh just a few grams. 1 million rand, just give me your 2 eyes. Which person will say, okay, no problem. 1 million rand, big amount, I'll give you my 2 eyes. Oh, here's 1 million rand, give me your 2 ears. Small, how small the ear is. The whole body is still intact, just give me your 2 ears. Oh, here's 1 million rand, give me your 2 lungs. How much do the lungs weigh? How your whole body, leave it intact, just the 2 lungs, just give me that, 1 million rand. No one in his right mind will be prepared to say, okay, there's my 2 eyes, 1 million rand, such a big favor you did me, there's 2 eyes, take it. Or there's my 2 ears, take it. Or there's my 2 lungs, take it. Or there's my 2 legs, take it. Or there's my 2 arms, take it. So now if you have to add up all of these things, the eyes are worth more than 1 million rand. The legs are worth more than 1 million rand. The heart is worth more than 1 million rand. The lungs is worth more than 1 million rand. Now the question comes, who gave us all of these things? If the man comes to you and he offers you 1 million rand, you're willing to do so much for him because he gave me 1 million rand. Who gave me my eyes? Who gave me my ears? Who gave me my nose? Who gave me my tongue? Who gave me my teeth? Who gave me my heart? Who gave me my lungs? Who gave me my liver? Who gave me my legs? Who gave me my arms? Who created all of this for me? Who allowed all of these things to function? Who gave permission for all of these things to work? One Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we have to speak about the favors of Allah again and again and again? Because we can't see Allah. The man that gives you 1 million rand, you can see him. So every time you see him, you are reminded, this man gave me 1 million rand. You feel indebted to him because you can see him. And you are reminded every time you see him, this man did me a favor, what can I do for him? We have to speak again and again and again about the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in this world we can't see Allah. So we can't see sometimes how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. Even if Allah gave us nothing of dunya, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, Allah himself is asking, look within yourself. Every person sitting here, even if you have nothing of dunya, nothing, not 1 cent, but that eye is worth more than 1 million rand. Your ears are worth more than 1 million rand. Your entire body, how many millions and millions and millions, if not billions, this body is worth. One body. And who gave me this body, this entire body with all its functions? One Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much I owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much this question should come into my heart? What can I do for Allah? What does Allah want me to do? Last night, in the main bayan, Mumbai explained to us very nicely that the entire objective, the entire drive behind every single action should be 2 things. Allah and Akhirat. The more I remind myself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more I feel indebted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when I'm living, when I'm using this body, then the more I speak that Allah is the one that gave me my eyes, and Allah is the one that at any point can stop my eyes from working, the more likely I am to use those eyes in the obedience of Allah. Because my eyes are not even in my control. I go to sleep at night, I don't have guarantee I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be able to see. But I have to remind myself of that every day. And Allah himself gives us the reminder, قُلَ رَأَيْتُمْ مِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَبَصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَٰهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah asks a question, if Allah has to take away your sight, Allah has to take away your hearing, Allah has to make it such that your heart stops functioning or your mind stops thinking, who can give it back to you? Allah doesn't want to threaten us. It's not Allah's style to threaten us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prompting us to be cognizant, to recognize that this is coming from Allah. It's a favor from Allah. It's not something Allah owes us. Allah doesn't owe us anything. Allah is giving it to us. We owe Allah something. Allah gave me my eyes. I owe Allah that I use my eyes in the obedience of Allah. Allah gave me my ears. Allah is not charging me for my ears. Every day we don't have to pay 10 rand for our ears to work. Imagine we had to do that. Just for the ears to work, pay 10 rand. For the eyes to work, pay 10 rand. For the legs to work, pay 10 rand. How much? Every person will be in debt. No person will be able to live. Allah is not charging us for these things. But there's something Allah wants from us. It's not money. Allah wants us to use these things in His obedience. To use my ears in obedience. I to speak about it. Remind myself, these ears is a ni'mat from Allah. And like that, everything else that Allah has given me in this world, it is from Allah. The objective of it, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. That use whatever Allah has given you. Allah is telling us, use whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, for what? الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. To attain your akhirat. Allah has put us in this world. But the goal, the focus, is the pleasure of Allah, the obedience of Allah. And the place that we're headed to is the destination of akhirat. The goal is akhirat. So I have to keep on reminding myself. The effort on iman is the continuous reminder. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That remind, and this reminder will be beneficial for the people of iman. Effort on iman is continuous reminder. Quran that was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and completed by the end of the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their Quran till today is still the same. Quran doesn't increase. A hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't increase. But we are living 1,400 years later. Someone may live 2,000 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone may live 3,000 years after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Quran is still the same. A hadith is still the same. It means what? Everything is there. Everything is found. What is required is reminders. Repeated reminders. Again and again and again. To take the lesson of Quran and say it again. To take the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say it again. While I'm sitting here, I'm seeing one of my Sathis from the masjid that we used to be in together, and used to keep on reminding us like this, that you have to remind yourself, behind every system is the system of Allah. Behind every order is the order of Allah. That everything I see in front of me, I must tell myself, no, behind this is Allah. Behind this is Allah. It's not happening from me, it's happening from on its own. It's happening from Allah. Allah is making it happen. Allah is letting it happen. Sometimes it seems difficult. Sometimes it seems contrary to our wisdom. Allah is still letting it happen. Allah is making it happen. Whether I understand or don't understand is immaterial. Allah has ultimate wisdom. Allah has the ultimate wisdom. Allah knows what is best for the entire system. Ustaz Ibn Amangda used to give this example. The child, the baby, when the baby is born, the baby loves warmth, loves to feel warm. So even if it's, so to say, warm outside, hot, but the baby is still wrapped up in a blanket. He likes that warm feeling. Then the baby likes movement. When the eyes start to function, then it starts to follow. And the parents will play. They'll move the finger from side to side to see if the eyes are following. The baby likes to see the movement. And they'll put the toys in the cot above the baby. So the toys just move around. The baby likes the movement. And the baby likes different colors. It sees different colors. And it's the eyes are adjusting and picking up all the different colors. So warmth, movement, color. These are amongst the first things that the baby understands. These things are nice. These things are good for me. I like these things. I enjoy these things. So when the baby starts to crawl, you can imagine the baby's reaction the first time the baby sees fire. This thing is warm. And as I crawl and get closer to it, it gets warmer. This thing is moving. It's moving in so many different directions. And this thing got so many different colors. In one thing, the color is just changing, red and yellow and orange. So the baby's reaction is, this is one of the best things ever created. This is one of the best things for me. I need to go right into this thing. It's got warmth, it's got light, it's got movement, it's got color. There's nothing better than this for me. So the baby, as fast as it can crawl, tries to go towards the fire. It is a fire burning in the fireplace. The baby tries to go towards the fire. The mother's reaction is opposite to the baby. The mother shrieks, screams, says the baby's name, even though the baby can't understand, runs, swoops, lifts the baby, pulls the baby away. In the baby's mind, what's wrong with this mother? This mother doesn't know what's good for me. This thing is the best thing I've ever seen. It's got everything that I like in one place. And this mother is taking me in the opposite direction. What's wrong with this mother? The mother doesn't try to explain to the baby, that's fire, you're going to get burnt. The mother knows the baby doesn't understand. The mother knows in a few years' time, the same baby will grow up. And the same baby in a few years' time will understand, that thing wasn't good for me, that was my destruction. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things throughout the world. And we are like those babies, that I want this, and I want this, and this must happen, and that must happen, and this one must be in charge, and that one must be in charge, and this must stop, and that must take place. We are like that baby. Allah has ultimate wisdom. Allah knows exactly what is good, what needs to happen, and what time it needs to happen. The baby can't tell the mother, the fire is good for me. The mother doesn't listen to the baby. Even if the baby manages to talk and say those words, the fire is good for me, the mother is not going to listen to the baby. And the baby insists and go back to the fire a second time, the mother may even hit the baby also. Even though the mother loves the child. Why? Because this is going to hurt you. It's going to be more painful. The one shot that I'm giving you is not as bad as what the fire is going to do to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes when we have this sort of relationship with Allah, when we're telling Allah what we want and what we want and what we want, but we're not saying, what does Allah want? What does Allah want from me? Sometimes Allah does this with us also, to make us understand. Like how the mother gives the child that one shot, just to make us understand a little bit, that you don't really know, you're not really doing what's good for you. You think this is good and that is good. But what Allah wants from you, that is best for you. So Allah and Akhirat, these are the two things in front of us. These are the two goals we have to keep in front of us. And how are we going to achieve both? How are we going to get Allah? How do I know that what I'm doing now is pleasing to Allah? And how do I know what am I doing now is taking me towards the right place in Akhirat? One guideline, simple guideline Allah gave us, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If every single thing that I'm doing, I question myself, what would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have done in this situation? How would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have reacted in this situation? Last week our Jamaat was in Lodium. Yunus Ismail sat with us, one of the seniors of our country. So he used to say, Haji Abdul Wahab Saab, was the elder in driving, the most senior in Pakistan. He used to make this, he'd tell us, Hadis, make this dua. And it's a long dua. But basically the crux of it, Ya Allah, make my day like the day of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, make my night like the night of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, make my eating like the eating of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, make my sleeping like the sleeping of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, make my outside like the outside of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And every single aspect of life. Why? Because the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the way of guarantee. Guarantee of Allah's happiness, guarantee of Jannat. These two things are our objectives. The guaranteed method to reach there is through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Himself is saying, if you love Allah, the sign of your loving Allah is your close following of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the guarantee from Allah is if you follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as closely as you want, as closely as you can, Allah's guarantee is Allah will love you, Allah will forgive you. Allah's love is the objective, Allah's forgiveness, the outcome of it is Jannat. And Sahaba understood this. And you see the goal and the objective of Sahaba, how they combined these things, Allah and Akhirat, and how they understood the key to both is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This ta'aleem that we sit in, sit and ponder. And these, one is the fada'il, the virtues is there to motivate us. So there's different fada'il, virtues of Quran, virtues of dhikr, virtues of salah. Then in fada'il sadaqat, the virtues of spending, the virtues of maintaining family ties, and the virtues of zakat, etc. These are all virtues for the actions for us to do. But before all of that, the first thing we read in fada'il amal is the stories of sahaba. The stories of sahaba is to put an example in front of us. One is the virtues, the rewards you're going to get for the action. But to put an example in front of us of people that did those actions. How they did it, what was their status, how they achieved that status. Ustaz Mufti Yusuf, performed the Fajr Salah now, he used to tell us, you read Hayatul Sahaba, or in this case stories of Sahaba, the objective is to see how Sahaba reacted in every single situation. To see what was their reaction. Because that reaction is the reaction Allah is saying, radiallahu anhum, Allah is happy with it. Allah is happy with them, so Allah is happy with their reaction. Unless Nabi some corrected them, etc. But Allah is happy with their reaction. So they were normal human beings. They weren't like Anbiya that were completely protected, no sin whatsoever. They were, so to say, had the normal ability, instinct to sin. But Allah protected them. They are mahfooz. Allah protected them. Allah guided them. So that deen can reach us in the best possible way. From Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So see how they reacted. So two, three examples of how Sahaba had this objective in front, and it was a singular objective in front of them. Rabi'a bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu is from the Ahlul Suffa, the people that stay in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, poor Sahabi. But because he's staying in the masjid, he gets the opportunity to make khidmat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One night he makes khidmat. He says, I used to bring the wudu for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the water for wudu for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he had any other need, I used to help him. One night after he makes khidmat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, ask me. In other words, ask me for what you want. What's your heartfelt desire? And see how simple, 3-4 words, but the goal. As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. O Nabi of Allah, I want to be with you in Jannat. I want to be with you in Jannat. Number one, if I'm with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Akhirat, if I'm with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat, then everything else is sorted out. Everything else is sorted out. I'm not just asking for Jannat, I'm with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat. So that is the best possible Jannat, and that is the way to make Allah the most happy, if I can copy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be wherever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even ask him, أَوَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Okay, in other words, I'll make that dua for you, you'll get that. Anything else you want. He's a poor sahabi, he's living in the masjid, he has nothing to live off. So many things he can ask for. He already got, so to say, one thing in the bank, the akhirat is secured. Anything else? لَا هُوَ ذَاكَ. Only that. Only that. Singular objective. One objective. My akhirat, and to secure my akhirat, if I'm with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm sorted out. in the battle of Uhud, Ummu Ammara radiallahu anha, a female Sahabiya, she's amongst the group that happens to be close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, defending Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she gets wounded even whilst defending Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's an old woman, probably 50 or over 50 years old. Over 50 years old in the battlefield. But while the whole battle is ensuing, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion is happy with her. So he asks her, is there anything you want? So she just says, O Nabi of Allah, make dua that I'm with you in Jannah. Different incident, different case, different person, different gender. But still Sahabi. So Sahaba had a singular objective. Jannah, Akhirat. And if I'm with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything is sorted out. Nabi sallam makes that dua. She herself says, after this, I never worried too much what happened in my life. There's no concern. Doesn't matter too much what happens. Because I got it. The objective is there. Nabi sallam made this dua for me. That dua is accepted. My objective is fulfilled. Last example. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, very close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Nabi sallam tells him, you ask. In other words, you make dua. And the way Nabi sallam indicates to him, as if at this point, this dua will be accepted. So what dua does he make? First, worry and concern. First thing, for dunya. The only so to say, worry for dunya. Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad. Oh Allah, I ask you for such iman that never ever goes back, never regresses, that I never ever leave that iman. The only worry for dunya. Yalla, while I'm living in this world, Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad. Oh Allah, give me such iman that I never ever lose that iman. Then, wa na'iman la yanfad. And bounties and favors that never come to an end. In other words, the bounties of na'im, jannah. Straight away. Dunya, just for iman for dunya. And for akhirat, na'iman la yanfad. And on top of that, wa murafaqata nabiyika fi a'la darajati al-jannah, darajati al-khuld. And to be with your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest levels of jannah. So this is three different occasions, different sahaba from different backgrounds. But the objective of all is the same. And this is what sahaba made effort on. And this is what they understood to be valuable. So these are the people Allah is saying, radiallahu anhum, Allah is happy with them. So if we also want to have that same certificate from Allah, then we have to follow their footsteps. And we have to pick how they follow the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have to do the same. And for this Allah has blessed us with anbiya, with ulama, with waratha, with the heirs of anbiya alayhi salam, to keep a close contact with ulama, to stay in the company of ulama. So that in every step of the way, every step of my life, if I haven't heard it or learnt it already, how to do it according to Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have a close contact with at least one alim who I can ask. That now, how would Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or what would Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have done in this situation? Because if I can do it according to the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have done it, Allah would be happy, my akhirat, my jannah is secure. So this effort to bring the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into my life, this is a continuous effort, outwardly and inwardly, how I outwardly and inwardly can become like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a continuous effort. It requires us to be speaking about Allah, about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about akhirat, day in, day out. And the more time we give to it, the more likely it will settle in the heart will become convinced, the more likely we'll be able to bring it into our life. So this is for the individual, this is one of the reasons why we are encouraged to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that on a daily basis, continuously, I can speak and remind myself that my goal is Allah, the destination I'm going to is Akhirat, the way to reach there is through Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then no mu'min's iman is complete until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So every single person that I meet, every mu'min that I meet, he is my brother. I have to love for him what I love for myself. I want to make Allah happy. I want Allah to be happy with me. I want the highest level of Jannah. I want to be with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My iman is not complete until I don't love the same thing for my brother. So every person that I meet now, I will encourage him that you have to get linked to Allah. You have to try to please Allah. You have to live your life according to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to make an effort for your akhirat. And the person who gathers all his thoughts, worries and concerns into one worry, the worry of his akhirat, Allah takes care of all his worries of dunya. Hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why we come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as individuals. And then to remind the collective, to remind the community, to remind the ummah, that this is actually why we are in this world. To obey Allah, to earn our akhirat, to build our jannat in the manner shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the more we hear this, and the more continuously we repeat this, the more effect it will have on the heart. So for that reason, actually, every day of our life we need this. Out of mercy for us, what Allah is telling us, that at least at the first opportunity, give 4 months in the path of Allah. We should be doing it every day of our life, for the rest of our life. But at least at the first opportunity, 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 120 days, day in, day out, we should be saying, speaking about Allah, about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Akhirat. So this has more effect on our heart than the things of dunya. Abdullah bin Mas'ud would tell Sahaba, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. Allah is saying, you prefer the dunya, even though Akhirat is better and longer lasting. The reason? Because you can see dunya. Abdullah bin Mas'ud would tell them, you can see dunya, you can't see Akhirat. So I have to speak about Akhirat, otherwise dunya will definitely affect me. I'm human, I can see it and the effects of it and the cause and effect of dunya around me. I have to speak about Akhirat more than that I can see dunya. I have to speak and hear about Akhirat more than I can see dunya. So how much dunya? Every day, everything we look at is dunya. So how much I have to speak about Akhirat for it to affect the heart and settle in the heart? This is every person's individual need. The benefit, secondary benefit is while I'm speaking to others, inshallah his iman also will get affected. So each one of us, let us make niyat inshallah, to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who makes niyat? First opportunity, 4 months in the path of Allah, to learn this effort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah. So let me take names. Let's make niyat inshallah. Maybe Shoaib Barak inshallah. Abdul Razak, Ms. Kaveni inshallah. Abdul Rashid mashallah. Tukr Siddiq, Allah accept inshallah. Ms. Salman. Umar Farooq mashallah. Ms. Ahmadi Randi inshallah. Teacher Muhammad, Salim, Dawood, Faisal, Abdul Quddus, Yusuf, mashallah. 4 months every year, mashallah. Mashallah. Muawiyah, mashallah. Meet yet, Noah Faisal, inshallah. Ali, inshallah. 4 months in the niyat, dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I want to go, like Muhammad explained yesterday. We can't do anything. Allah has to take us. Allah has to open the way. Allah has to open the means. Now we talk to Allah. Now we start talking to Allah. Ya Allah, I want to go. Ya Allah, I need this in my life. I need this in my life. The person, the doctor tells him you have to go for a checkup, but he doesn't have the money. He knows he has to go for the checkup. So he'll find a way to get the money for the checkup. He'll find a way to get there, to get to the hospital. Or he'll find a hospital that can do it and charges less or doesn't charge. But I need to do that. I have to do that checkup. So that is for our physical condition. This is for our spiritual, imani condition, which is permanent. The physical body dies, and the body decays. But the iman, same iman will remain. The iman doesn't change. It won't get better once you go in your grave. It's the same iman that you made effort on in dunya. That same iman has to take you right through, through all the stages of the qabr, through all the stages of qiyamah, through all the stages right into jannah. The same iman. So this checkup is more urgent than the hospital checkup. So we have to find a way. Now we ask Allah, Ya Allah, I need to do this checkup. I have to sort this thing out on the inside. Ya Allah, you make the means. And then sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives great ajr status on sacrifice. Allah opens up great roads of hidayat, of guidance on sacrifice. If not 4 months, 40 days inshallah. Individuals and masajid can make niyat at the moment. We don't have any 40-day jamaats in our province. Yes, there's one pedal jamaat that's working in the south coast. Allah look after them and take them safely and accept all their effort and khidmat. But throughout the rest of the province, from our province, from KZN, we don't have any 40-day jamaats at the moment. So actually every masjid, every zone, minimum at least as a zone, there should be fikr in this month for one jamaat to come out for 40 days in the path of Allah. Minimum. This jamaat's moving is a reminder that we are getting. We make fikr on them to come out. But the jamaat comes to us, is a reminder for us, benefit for us. So let's make inshallah, make niyat, as masjids make niyat. The elders say, on naqad tashkil, our yaqeen gets made. When you make a person's tashkil, shame to go in the path of Allah, and you know he can't go in the path of Allah. And then you see him go in the path of Allah, your yaqeen gets made. That I didn't take this person out, he didn't take himself out, Allah took him out. I knew he couldn't go, I made his tashkil still. How he came out? So areas, we can't do it. And our areas can't do it. We think our masjid, these people can't come out. Now it's to say, La ilaha illallah, Allah can do it. Allah can do it. Ya Allah, it's our need, our collective need. Let's bring it here, mashallah, made niyat. Stand here, inshallah.
Jamaat started in South America, Panama.
Jamaat is starting
Monday, inshallah.
Inshallah. One Jamaat going to South America, starting today, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, Jamaat's going abroad also. So those can make niyat for foreign and even locally. Local tashkil, everyone, any person, we can make the tashkil to come out local. Inshallah. For foreign tashkil, certain requirements have to be fulfilled first, inshallah. So that also is a need. Make niyat as masjid, as areas. Which masjid, which area will say, inshallah, we'll try for one jamaat in this month of April. At least one jamaat, inshallah. A few weeks to work on it, inshallah. Inshallah. Those brothers that are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should come closer. Hidayat bayan will take place, inshallah. rest of us, Adida Ishraq, time is up, inshallah. Two rakats, Allah gives the reward of, except at Hajj and Umrah. Another two rakats, Allah makes all our day work for the day easy. One group went out in the path of Allah, came back with a lot of booty. Nabi Sallam told the other Sahaba, I can give you, promise you even more in even lesser time. Person sits for after Fajr, sits in the same place, at least two rakats of Salah after sunrise, he can even more than all the wealth that these people have come back with. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah,